coming from the book of Luke. Very familiar passage of scripture, but we're going to look at it a little differently. Luke chapter number 16, starting at verse number 23 through 24. Luke chapter number 16, starting at 23 through 24.
And seeing Abraham afar off,
yes.
And Lazarus
in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. All right. And then we're going to go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, looking at verse number 17 and 18. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verses
17 and 18.
All right. Now, in these two particular passages of scripture, the one in Luke chapter number 16, 23 through 24, and 2 Timothy chapter number 2, 17 through 18, you notice. That when people are in a state of misery, a state of unrest, you know how you hear the saying, misery loves company. And as saints, we have to be very cautious of that spirit. We have to be very cautious of that miserable spirit, especially when it is in us, or when it is seeking to devour us. When it is in us, it is controlling what we say. When it is seeking to devour us, it tries to flood our ears with a bunch of negative stuff. Now you say, Elder Scudder, why did you choose these particular passages of scripture? Because you will notice similarities in the two. Now notice that in the first one, the rich man was already in the place of judgment. He had made his choice. You know how they make the saying, you make your bed, you have to lie in it. He had made his choice to reject Jesus. And notice what he says in his state. When he's already suffering his judgment, notice what he says in verse number 24. He said that he cried and said, Father Abraham, have what? Mercy on me. And send who? Now notice what he says. The very one that he was looking down on, when things were going all right for him, now he wants that person to do what? Come join him. He wants him to come join him. Misery loves company. And this is what you have to understand. Some people will come to you that are not happy within themselves. And because they are not happy within themselves, they try to flood your mind with a bunch of negative stuff. And you need to be able to recognize it. It'll mess your day up. You always notice, you can always tell when that spirit is coming because you feel good, you're happy about Jesus, you're thinking about something positive, and all of a sudden here comes a Debbie Downer. Here comes someone to try to highlight or show you something that you never even paid attention to before. Misery loves company. And you notice that's true as to what was happening right here. Because what was happening with the rich man, he was in the place of judgment. He had already made his choice. He had already made his decision. And his choice caused him to be in what? Torments. But you got to remember, he just didn't get there by mistake. He chose that life. There were choices that he made that he was now doing what? Reaping. Remember the laws of the harvest. What you sow, you do what? Reap. It is no mistake that he is in hell. He is in hell because of the choices and the decisions that he made. If you jump over to verse number 25 in Luke chapter number 16, that will confirm me. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 25.
Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime.
Yes.
Receiveth thy good things.
Yep.
Likewise, Lazarus received his evil
things. Right. So he made a choice. The choices that he made caused him to be in the circumstance of the situation that he was in. So whenever you notice those things come your way, when someone comes with you with negative, you need to throw it back at them. What did you do? What choice did you make to cause you to be in this situation or cause you to feel this way? Then they may want to say this or say that. But again, personal accountability. What did you do? What did you do? Adam and Eve are perfect examples of people trying to throw off on someone else when they are the one that is at fault. Eve tried to do it to the serpent, or Adam tried to do it to Eve. Eve tried to do it to the serpent, and again, the serpent had nobody to blame, so he was just stuck with it. But at the end of the day, judgment fell on who? All of them. And it's the truth here with Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man was in the state that he was in because of the choices and the decisions that he made. Now, for myself and for yourself, your takeaway should be this. If you don't like where you are, first of all, see how you got there. See how you got there and then make some change. If you don't like certain things about your life, see how you got where you are at and make some changes. Make some changes that will reap positive, that will reap, that allow you to get where you desire to go at. That's why I said in holiness, when you're trying to go back with the Lord Jesus, that word repent is always going to be in your face. That word repent means to do what? Change. In other words, if you don't like the negative, you don't like the bad, you don't like the judgment, then change. It's very easy to do that. It's very easy. Why am I in this situation? Go back and look over your life and see what things you did. Where did your thoughts get off track? Where did you go from praising Jesus to murmuring and complaining? Right? Go always do that. Think about that. Where did I get off track? And when I identify the area that got me off track, that's the part that you need to change. If you do not change that, you will continue to get derailed over and over and over again. And you will notice that was Israel's problem. Israel as a nation kept going through the same thing over and over again, all because they did not realize and identify where they got off track. But the thing that got them off track was the same thing over and over again, is because they did not want to obey and submit to Jesus. That's why they got off track. In the beginning, when Jesus told them as a nation, do not leave Egypt, or do not go out of your land of promise. And because there was a famine, that's why they left their land of promise and they went in Egypt. And instead of getting what you needed, which was food, and going back home, the scripture said they stayed there. That was problem number one. You know that that was not what you were told to do. Jesus told you to stay in the land of promise, no matter how hard things got. You still cannot. The Lord's word is not to be compromised. He gives you his word for you to do what? Obey it. Right? Jesus blesses them. Now, how long did they stay in Egypt of bondage? 400 and something long years. And again, it was all because of the what? The choices and decisions they made. When they cried out and asked the Lord to deliver them, Jesus brought them out. Many signs and wonders. You know the story. He brought them out. And then again, back. Where were they journeying back to? They were going back from where they had come from. Right? They were only going back where the Lord had brought them out from in the beginning. And in their journeys, what did they do again? Murmur and complain. All because they did not want to obey Jesus. And it caused the whole generation to be destroyed. The only ones that made it back were two, Joshua and Caleb. And the scripture says the only reason they made it back is because they had a different spirit. The very one that led them out could not go back. Why? Because he could not be what? Obedient. Jesus told him not to do what? Hit the rock, but to speak to it. But that spirit that was in the people jumped in him. Misery loves company. And it will mess you up. It will mess you up. You ever wonder why you lose your grip on Jesus? Because you start to pay attention to someone that's really not holding on to him. People that are really holding on to you, Jesus, will encourage you. Hold on to Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. They will speak things into your mind that will help you, not hinder you, not distract you. Notice what the rich man did with Lazarus. His word was not to benefit Lazarus, but to benefit who? Himself. So even in hell, he was still focused on who? Isn't that something? He was the one in torment. Lazarus was not. But even in hell, what caused him to be in hell? His selfish attitude. all he could think about was what? Himself. So even when the Lord judges you, think about this thing. You are where you are because of you, the choices and the decisions that you made. And if you don't change your way of thinking, you're going to continue to reap what you do what? So does that make sense, saints? That makes sense. That makes sense. Don't ever feel sorry. You know, I feel sorry for choices and decisions that people make, but I don't feel sorry for them because they're where they are at because of what? What they chose to do. All right? Now, notice, he realized he could have done things differently. He could have done things differently. Jump over to verse number 28, or 27 and 28.
Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that they also come into
right. the place of So he realized that he surrounded himself around people that thought and behaved just like he did. Huh? But there was no denying they were going to reap what they sowed. Right? I'm trying to tell you that's the law of the harvest. You are going to reap what you sow, regardless of who you are. You need to, what Jesus says in the next verse is so important because it lets you see that there was something missing in the rich man's life that was also missing in his brother's life. And that's that word called faith, right? Faith, faith, taking Jesus at his word. Notice what it says in verse number 29 and 30, or 29 through 31.
Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets.
Yes.
Let them hear them.
Uh-huh. See, you cannot make conditions on faith. Faith is what it is. When Jesus is telling you, you've got to be born again, you don't have a right to go to him and say, Jesus, I'll be born again if you do this. That ain't how it works. His word, he expects you to do it because he said for you to do what? Do it. Huh? How do you know that this is what? He wasn't really willing to trust Jesus. Look at what he said. In verse number 29,
he said, "Have Moses in the prophet." He said, "Name Father Abraham." But if one went after them,
right? See, he was gonna try to be saved the way he wanted to be saved, and that's not how it worked, because the Lord already had given him the instruction. He said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them." Right? That's the condition. There is no compromise. And I'm trying to tell you, when your mind is off, when your mind ain't right, when you hear truth, you still ain't going to accept it. Because notice, when it was speaking to him, what did he say after the truth was given to him? The truth was that you have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. When the truth was still given, he still wanted to change the truth. How do you know he wanted to change the truth? What was said to him was not sufficient. It wasn't enough. That word that was said to him could save him. All they had to do was take that word and listen to it and do it. It could save him, but that was not enough. How do you know it wasn't enough? Look at what he said out of his mouth. He said no. Huh? See, the Lord can't save somebody that rejects him. Lord can't work with you when you're constantly arguing and debating with Jesus. You got that debate spirit in you. You need to resist that devil. That's Satan that puts that thought inside of your mind. Especially when the Lord is trying to give you word to help you. First thing comes out of his mouth when Jesus gives him word. Huh? Is he said what? Nay. Now I'm trying to tell you, you're not going to win that fight. You're not going to win it. Your attitude is going to take you straight to hell. And you're going to be in there for eternity. And everybody that think like you is going right along with you. And that's the unfortunate part. This is what you say, Elder Scudder, what are we talking about? I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to mess yourself up listening to someone that ain't got no mind to do right. They're in the situation they're in because of the choices and the decisions that they make. If they want better, they ought to do better. You ought to learn how to obey Jesus. Do what is right. Do not compromise under no circumstances. You know it's not like the Lord. Resist the devil. Scripture said, resist the devil and he'll do what? That's promise. You resist him, he'll flee from you. Even in hell, this man did not even want to resist the negative attitude that caused him to be there. People go to hell for a reason. And you notice right here, even while in torment, he's still selfish. He's still only thinking about who? Himself. You want to avoid that. I'm trying to tell you, saints, you want to avoid that kind of thinking. You want to get yourself clear away from folk that do stuff like that, because it's a poison and it will corrupt you. All right. Let's jump over to Timothy, and then I'm going to get ready to let you stop. Timothy chapter number 2, starting at verse number 17 and 18. You all have read that already. You notice there are two brothers that are there called Hymenaeus and do what? Philetus. And who concerning the truth have done what? Erred. Meaning they left or abandoned the truth. They're no different than the rich man in hell who abandoned the truth. Now you got them on the earth still thinking and acting the exact same way. And little do they know they're going right with the rich man. They're on a path that's going to lead them to what? Torments. And it's because of what? Choices and decisions that they made. They, scripture did not say they stayed in the truth. Scripture says they erred from it. Meaning they were what? They were once in it. But it wasn't enough for them. They, according to what the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians, these people would rather do what? Believe a lie than the truth. And this is that spirit is in the earth today. So therefore, we can't not be shocked by that. If you go over to 2 Timothy, really quick, hold your finger there in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, starting at verse number 9 through 12. 9 through 12.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan.
Yes.
With all power and signs and lying
wonders.
With all deceit.
How does Satan operate? In deception. Mm-hmm. In deception. Nobody told you that. You're feeling stuff that nobody even told you. You have no ground. You have nothing to back your feelings up with. It's solely on you, your perception. And your perception is what? Wrong. Ain't nobody feeding your thoughts but the devil. And until you stop him, he's going to keep on feeding you. He'll let you hear stuff, let you see stuff that's not truth. It's not reality. It's not the truth. That's why he's called a deceiver. Deceivers try to present themselves as what? True. We're listening to a commercial today when the guy was advertising safety protocol, safety mechanisms on people's computers. And he said one of the greatest tricks of these hackers was they try to befriend you and make you think that they know you. He said, so they'll steal pictures of you and they will put those pictures within emails. And behind those pictures is code. And that code is called, which is called malware. And malware, what it does, it's they're like commands. So if a person clicks this, it activates the command. So when a person looks at the picture, they're told to click on this picture so you can see more of our times together. And as soon as they click on the picture, what it commanded, the command was turn on the person's camera. And all of a sudden, when they clicked on the picture, it showed the person live feed on the other person's screen. Man didn't even know he was doing it. He said, now that was just one command. Other commands are every time that the person types, retype what is typed on another system. So that means when a person goes to any kind of website and goes and logs in and with their password, now because the malware is saying every stroke that the keyboard makes recorded over here, now the person has the man's login and the passwords to every site that he goes to. Or the command could be locate all files identified as tax. So now when the virus says when you click on the picture, it goes through all of your documents and finds wherever you have the word tax in the file name, it pulls that file over there. So now, not only does the person have all your taxes, got your social security numbers and everything else. I'm trying to tell you, people sit around all day long and come up with ways to do what? Deceive you. That's the spirit that is in the land. And they got that spirit from their daddy. Called who? Satan. Huh? According to this scripture says Satan. He identifies who this is that comes with all lying wonders. And it tells you he's a spirit of what? Deception. What is which? With all deceitfulness of unrighteousness. In who? In them. That's right.
Because they receive not the love.
That's what I thank the Lord for, the truth. You thank the Lord for the church. There is love in the church. And it's not artificial. It's real. It's real. You it's up to you to make the distinction. You say, Elder Scudder, you're my pastor. So let me be the mark. Don't worry about nobody else. If you say, if you hear Deacon James say something to you that ain't something similar to Elder Scudder, that should be your mark. You say, well, a pastor don't talk to me like that. Why would this brother talk to me like that? Why would this brother treat me like that? My pastor never treated me like that. Remember, I'm the Lord's spokesman. So you ought to let me be your what? Be your mark. And if you notice I'm talking outside of character, What can you say about me? Something done got a hold of the Scudder. That ain't how he usually talk. That ain't how he treated me when I first came into the church. He showed me loving kindness. Now he's acting differently. Remember, I'm human. And the same devil can jump in you, can jump inside of me also. But it's up to you to recognize Satan. This still doesn't change the scripture. The scripture tell you to do what? Resist the devil. And he will do what? That's right. The only reason he stays is because you keep doing what? Welcome. When he feels uncomfortable, when he feels he's not welcome, he moves on. But when he sees that you pay him attention, he keeps right on talking. And again, before you know it, you're going to start feeling ways that you were not feeling before that individual got it in your ear. And he will use whomever. That's how Satan works. As long as someone is open to that negative spirit, the devil will get in him and act. And remember, he uses you when you are at your weakest. When you're tired, when you're worn out, don't be shocked if the devil gets in your mind with a bunch of negative stuff. Why? Because you're not paying attention. You need to hone in on, what am I saying? What am I thinking? What am I looking? Take out your mirror sometimes. Look at yourself. Don't create a false reality. Don't smile because you know you're looking at yourself. Look at yourself for what you really look like. You say, well, that's not Jesus. Jesus didn't save me looking like this. When I was really crying out to the Lord, I sure wasn't looking like this. I sure wasn't feeling like this. When I really repented of my sin, of wrong, I sure wasn't looking and thinking like this. Right? So if I'm not on that track of trying to stay right, then I must have gotten off. I must be on another track. And if I'm on another track, what is this other track? Who created it? Where did it come from? Where is it going? Huh? Scripture says it's what? It's deceivableness. Huh? And it's all the path of what? Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness means wrong. It's not right. It's wrong. I don't care how they dress it up. I don't care how they make it look. It's still wrong. A naked woman that's not my wife is still wrong. They could put a halo over, put an angel wings on her. She's still what? Wrong. Huh? They can try to send me all things, kind of messages. Oh, well, it's just a human body. It's art. It's still wrong. That's not my wife. Y'all understand that? So don't try to justify it when you know it's what? And that goes for the men too. Sisters are going to be looking at nobody's chest. Because it's still what? That man ain't your husband. It's wrong. Don't try to justify it. Well, he's just a bodybuilder. He's a football player. It's still what? Wrong. You don't know how many women reporters have messed themselves up running into men's locker rooms? Got themselves in situations that they were not prepared for. They had no business in it. No sense in you trying to put out a fire when you jump into it. That's right. It gets hotter. It gets hotter, and you are going to be what? Burnt up. You're going to be burnt up, and you're going to wonder why. I lost all of this, and I'm burnt up because you were in some place you had no business being. You had no business being there. Come on. Finish up. That's right.
That they might be
what? See, you've got to receive Jesus' word in order for it to do what? Save you. Everybody got that? You should have that highlighted in your book. You have to do what? Receive Jesus' word in order for it to save you. You notice what the rich man failed to understand. He neglected to understand that thing when he was on the earth, and he still couldn't understand it even when he was in hell. Because he was still fighting the what? The truth. Huh? He was fighting it before he got there. And even while he was there, he was still doing what? Fighting it. Because when the truth spoke to him, what did he say? Nay. Right? Y'all understand that? I'm trying to tell you, people in hell because they're supposed to be there. They're Christ rejectors. They had a nay attitude before they got there. And I'm trying to tell you, they still ain't changed their thinking. They are there for a reason. You reap. Period. Right? Now you would have thought hell would have changed them. You would have thought hell would have changed them. But he was still negative in hell. And when the truth came to him, he still said what? No. He was only worried about himself. He and Lazarus was not in torment. And he was not ashamed to say, send Lazarus over. Well, obviously, when Lazarus get over here with me, he's going to be in what? Torments, right? So that lets you know he could care less about Lazarus. He was only thinking about who? You got to be careful, saints. I'm trying to tell you, you got to be careful of that spirit. It is self-willed. Thinks nothing of you. It'll take advantage of you. You'll be lost and they'll still keep right on functioning. You'll lose, and they'll keep right on functioning. You'll stop and say, I ain't going back no more. I ain't going no back no more. You want to say, well, why is such and such stop coming? I don't know. You do know, because you was the one told them all that negative stuff. But you can't see yourself. You don't even realize you're being used by the devil to sow seeds of discord. And you guess what? They're gone, but you still sitting right up in there. Your negative self. Looking for the next victim. Looking for the next victim. I'm trying to tell you, that's how that spirit works. That's how it works. Hymenaeus and Philetus were thinking the exact same way. Did you finish reading that in 2 Thessalonians? I think you might have been. In 2 Thessalonians?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for this cause, God shall send them
strong delusions. They should believe a what? So they're not just messing themselves up. They're messing up all of those that do what? What did we learn in the workshop yesterday? See, they messing you up. That devil is keen to your learning style. And because he wants to teach you the lesson, he will accommodate. He will study you out and say, D, what's the best way you learn?
With my hand.
And then that devil will be, come on, touch me.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do that. Pastor.
So I'm just trying to tell you how the devil will work. He's not going to come to me because you ain't interested in me. But I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. You best believe he's going to send somebody that meets your interest.
Right.
He's going to send somebody to you that meets your interest. He does it all day long. And it's all to do what? Distract who?
You.
He's a deceiver. The spirit of what? Deception. He wants you to believe a what? A lie. Rather than the what? The truth. What is the right? That you might be what?
That
he wants you to be what? Damn. Satan is going to hell and he wants you to go with him.
Who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in
unrighteousness. That's right. Some folk have made a choice to enjoy sin. And unless you want to spend eternity in hell's fire, you need to make up your mind that you do not like sin. You do not like it, okay? All right. Elder Scudder is going to stop right there. Verse number 18 over in 2 Timothy will let you see what does hanging around this wrong spirit do to you. The latter part of verse number 18, what does the hanging around that wrong spirit do to you? It overthrows, huh? It overthrows your faith. It messes up your faith. Okay? Always remember that you're going to change from believing in what Jesus say to questioning him. You're going to change. You will change for the wrong. You'll change for the wrong. You'll change for the wrong. You'll find yourself thinking stuff that you didn't normally think, feeling things that you never felt before, especially about other saints. About other saints. Saints that have already showed you that they do what? They love you. They love you and that they do what? Care for you. But because Satan is a deceiver, huh? Some saints will do anything for you. I mean anything for you. But you let that devil get in your mind and now they're your worst enemy. And you ask what they do. I don't know. I just don't like the way they look. That sounds like the devil to me. How you not going to like the way that somebody that got Jesus on the inside look? If I got Jesus on it, the Jesus in me is showed out. Huh? Didn't Jesus say, let your light do what? So that means if he's in you, he's shining through. Obviously, what you're saying you don't like is Jesus. I'll never say nothing like that. You ain't got to say it. Your actions are already speaking it. The aura that you give off is already saying it. You don't like who? Jesus. Because Jesus, I know, ain't did nothing but show me a bunch of what? Love and kindness. Huh? Jesus, I know, ain't showed me nothing but a bunch of love and kindness. That's the truth, saints. All right? We trust y'all got something out there. I told y'all I wasn't going to be long this morning.